Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, delighted to be with you once again for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve and just absolutely destroy themselves without love. They fall into the rabbit hole of lovelessness when other motives drive us, when other motives move us other than love. Love alone is credible. Love alone keeps us going. Charlie Chaplin, I just saw a quote from him, a comedian from another century, said, you know, when we need power, it's because we don't love. But he said, when we love, we find out love is enough to bring influence, to bring success, to move us forward in life. That's me. So we're here every Saturday and Sunday with the No BS Bishop, and you're joining me makes me happy. It's an honor that you'd trust me with half an hour of your life. I promise to do you no harm, to reach for love so that love is reaching for you. We unpack the substance, the powers, the dynamic of love here every week. And we're going to do that again today. But we start every episode of this broadcast with Love's Creed. This is something I wrote about a decade or so ago, and I invite you to join me in it. And we'll repeat it together in a moment. But first, I'll read it in total. Then I'll go back through it, and I'll invite you to repeat after me. Here we go. Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. If you were paying attention and you know my creed, I bobbled the line, the opening line. So, you know, see there, I just proved how deliciously imperfect I am. That's generous. All right, let's do the creed together. I'll give you short bursts of it, and then I'll have you repeat after me. Here we go. I'll try to get it right this time. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Well, there you have it, Love's Creed. If you'd like a copy of that, why don't you email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail.com. Be happy to send you a copy of that. And I promise I'm not building a mailing list to pound on your door for money. I'm simply here to serve you any way I can. So, and as it relates to money, we'd appreciate your donations, but we are not here to beg and to beat on the drum of fundraising. Just to make it available is all. Today, I want to go towards something that's a bit of a review, but it's also a refresher in my mind about whether we're learning love or just considering ourselves lucky in love. Now, I know you know those phrases, but I want to pull them apart a little bit, like finding that one strand of spaghetti that just came out of the boiling pot. Are we lucky in love? Or are we learning love? I'm not opposed to feeling lucky about some things, but I do believe, however, that sometimes we're more astute in learning, then we are lucky. And then we consider ourselves lucky because we've been astute to learn. My wife's father used to say, the harder I work, the luckier it seems I get. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. Working a little harder makes me a little more lucky, it seems, to others at least. And I do see that love is one of those character qualities and one of those deep and profound motivators in the human experience that can't just be treated as, I sure hope I get lucky. That's such a sad term. And to put it in that category puts love in something else other than the real priority that it's calling every one of us to be and to do. It seems to me, and I've said this here before in a lot of different ways, it seems to me that we've had this powerful, this magnificent challenge called love in front of us for centuries, and yet so little of our mind and our priorities and our thoughts, our contemplations, our studies seems to go toward unpacking love, learning love, and becoming people more than lucky in love, but learning love, digging deep into our, I don't know, into our own lifestyles, into our life priorities to discover where are we going in this big world with love, and how is it that we can deepen, as Love's Creed says, how I can move past the sense of breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. Let's get out of any of that, and let's get into breathing, eating, sleeping, and regaining energy for creating the vibration and the significance and the frequency of love in our life. To see to it that there's no activity I do that is too small for the practice of love, and to learn love in the small things, which also leads toward being a person of love in the large things. Every little thing that I'm touching is an invitation to love. St. Francis of Assisi spoke of trees and flowers and animals in that kind of context. He said, I'm going to love every grain of dirt, every leaf on a tree, every rabbit or squirrel that I see. I intend to love nature as I walk through this wonderful gift, to be, yes, to be grateful, but in my gratitude to recognize gratitude flowers up out of love. So when I'm loving even the footsteps I can take in a path, or the bird song around me, when I can be grateful for it, then love is just wrapped up in that gratitude, and vice versa. So when I'm loving it, I'm grateful. When I'm grateful, I'm loving it. And it becomes this furious, wonderful cycle of keeping me significantly attached to a life lived for love alone. So I'm challenging you here today one more time to join me in this unpacking of love, to join me in your own personal inventory about how love is your pursuit. I've got 1,000 thoughts, so bear with me. I'm trying to make sure they stay focused. When we have high priorities, whether we're Christian or non-Christian, when we have high priorities and we see how important those priorities are, we can tend toward judgmentalism, which is to say we look at others for the priority we think everyone should have, rather than looking square in the mirror and investigating our own energy invested toward those priorities. I'm not here to invest my inventory energies on you. I'm here in this life to be very committed to a personal inventory. Now, I'm not talking about being overly critical of myself. I'm talking about, and by the way, I can be overly critical of myself. It's not a happy day for Randy when I fall into that pit. But I know that when I am very, very conscientious about my inventory, it doesn't take me long to recognize that I've got further to go in this life of love. Here's one of the priorities of a life to love that is a practice in your getting lucky in love, and that is learning how to listen. Now, just trust me when I say I'm 71 and I'm in that category of life where listening is not just emotionally and psychologically challenging for me, it's physically challenging for me. It's frustrating on many days, but I am committed to bringing about some arc of change in my life. I'm too old now to say that we can just snap our fingers and change. I don't know that I was ever in that category, but if I was, I'm now in the category of saying, Lord, help me be patient with my commitment to change and to recognize that change is not something you do in a couple of minutes, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, or a couple of months, but it's moment by moment to change. Give people eye contact. Settle your mind. Listen more carefully and more intently. I think in some cases my own hearing impairment is a gift to remind me that listening has to be done with a discipline of searching for what's being said or what's not being said without jumping to conclusions that can be so damning to my quality of life. Learning to listen more than to talk. I find we preachers, I'm one, you know, I've been preaching since I was a teenager and I haven't shut up since. I heard somebody say one time, I don't have 5,000 sermons. I have one sermon that's 5,000 hours long and I've been preaching it for all my life. So I'm in the category. But one of the occupational hazards of being a preacher is losing the gift of listening. Losing the gift of shutting up once in a while and letting other people talk. Being aware that I'm occupying the space in a room when I ought to be letting others have a moment or two in the verbal sunshine where my ears are my gift and my mouth is an intrusion, so that when I'm in a meeting, I don't have to be the one heard all the time. I was in a meeting yesterday when some coworkers were looking at somebody in charge of the meeting, and these two coworkers were tapping their wristwatch, looking at the leader, sending this quiet and yet very distinct signal. We're running out of time. That's such a hazard with leadership, and I understand it. I'm not chunking rocks. I'm talking out of my own experience. When I recognize that, I look around a room and people may not be physically tapping their watch, but they're metaphorically tapping their watch and looking for me to find a stopping spot. That's what I'm talking about. Live your life in a way where you recognize that the words of others need your loving attentiveness. And you don't have to agree with everything people say, but in love, you can allow contrary opinions to be spoken without a need to fight every opinion. That isn't love. That's competitiveness. That's being determined to have a one-upmanship. To be a lover is to be a listener without a need to prove how right you are. So, are you lucky in love? I doubt it. I bet anything that your love life is growing because you're learning in love. Listening to people is a very, very important priority, but it's only one of many activities that'll lead you toward keeping your life on a trajectory toward love. So on that regard, I would urge you to not only listen to others, but listen to yourself. Listen to your thought life. Listen to the consistent criticisms that you're carrying around in your own mind. No, you may not be sharing it with everybody, but it's very possible that because of the internal dialogue, your constant internal review of others, it's possible that you're creating not necessarily words of hate, not necessarily words of rejection, but an atmosphere of hate, an atmosphere of rejection. Our internal world, our internal dialogue doesn't have to be expressed verbally in order for it to be felt, in order for it to be known. What researchers tell us about communication is that communication is really only 7% with our words. The other 93% of communication is coming from our attitude. It's coming from our body language. It's coming from our facial expressions, our hand expressions. Communication is coming from what we carry with us all the time. Going back to the illustration of my occupation as a pastor preacher, I heard many years ago some of the best advice I ever got, and that was, I don't study to preach a sermon. I simply fill my heart so that when I do have time to preach a sermon, I let the ingredients of my heart be the overflow in the words that I speak. To that end, you don't have to be a preacher to live this reality. When you listen to others and then listen to yourself, be aware, have an internal review of how you're creating a negative vibe from how you are constantly thinking about others in ways that are not healthy. This life is not about us versus them. This life is about all of us are them. We are all a them to somebody. We're all on the other side of somebody's opinion. And how do you want to be received? The golden rule: treat others as you would have them to treat you. So when we live a life with listening and a life that is aware of our internal reviews and our internal dialogue, well, now we're creating the potential of an atmosphere, an aura, a radiance of love around us that we carry around us, whether we're never speaking at all. We carry love, and love becomes the attraction that is God Himself. God is love, and love is God. So when I'm fully dipped and I'm fully immersed, I'm baptized in God, I don't have to thump a Bible to prove anything to anybody. If I'm truly, genuinely, beautifully being filled with the love of God, there's no need to defend or define. We simply must learn to be love in any particular category or atmosphere we want to create. This is my life goal. I wish I could tell you I'm really good at it. I'm just going to tell you I'm really committed to it. And I know that practice makes perfect is only partly true, because perfect practice makes perfect. And my practice of love has not been entirely perfect. So I'm reaching for more of that perfection. Not perfectionism, but the perfection of practice and the practice of perfection, so that I can go towards something that looks a lot more like the love of God. That my motto isn't I'm lucky in love, which is to say I just kind of trip around and all of a sudden I'm loving. No. I may be lucky in love, but it's only because I'm committed to learning love. When I'm learning to love, learning requires inquiry. Learning requires inquiry. To ask questions, ask good questions of people, so that when I'm aware that somebody knows something about whatever subject may be, and in particular as it relates to today's broadcast, if I see somebody who knows something about love, that they really seem to have a handle on love, I don't need to know where they go to church. I don't need to know where they got their college degree. If they seem to be a loving human being, I want to learn. I'm going to pay attention to that kind of person. I'm going to be a student of somebody who lives in love. Once again, I routinely repeat from 1 John, the little epistle about the love of God. God is love. Love is God. Those who dwell in God dwell in love. Those who dwell in love dwell in God. And when we love, John says, I mean, majestically, he says, when we love, we are born of God. So when I find people who are loving in such a dynamic way that the radiance of their being is love, again, I don't need to know where you go to church or what your college degree was. I just want to learn from your life, from who you are. How do you carry yourself in this world and in this life? The opposite is true, too. When I see hate, when I see rejection and misery, one thing I do is to make sure that I'm looking inside of me. And if I identify what somebody else's bad behavior is, well, I'm going to get busy in looking at myself and saying, am I behaving in any manner like that? And I'm going to take a serious inventory in as much as I can to look for the patterns in my internal world that may be leading me away from love and not more deeply into love. One thing I'm going to close with that I say here, maybe I need to spend a whole episode on this, and that is self-love. To love your neighbor as yourself is what Jesus teaches. And there's nothing about that that's complex, but there's everything about that that is profoundly challenging. Because when I love my neighbor as myself, my self-love is showing. My self-capacity to carry love is going to show up in the manner in which I am loving not just a neighbor, but loving a stranger. So to that end, self-love is such an important lesson, quality. I'm searching for the right word, but I think you know what I mean. To treat yourself well with love, love for yourself. I'm learning something lately of a pattern for life for me. And my wife will, she'll know this as she listens to this later, but in the evenings, not every evening, but most evenings, I take our little dog for a walk in our yard and just encourage her to finish her doggy business before we go to bed at night. And one thing I know, we live in the country, and one thing I know, out in the country, you could have a raccoon or a skunk or even a bear present in the dark, and so it's important not to be silent outside. And so I have learned, and my dog has learned, to sing a song, just a cappella, as I'm walking along. Now I'm out alone and looking at the starry sky, and I'm, again, putting out my voice so that varmints that I can't see in the dark will be aware there's some people out here, some living things out here. Yeah, my dog's a people. And I sing this song. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on faces of people passing by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I'll watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah. That song is something I've shared hundreds of times in different venues, but I close my day with it to settle my mind, at least to try to settle my mind, to give my dog a little sense of security when we walk in the yard in the dark. But I want to invite you to find a practice just as simple as that. Close your day with a meditation that leads you to peace, but more importantly, leads you to love. I see friends shaking hands saying, how do you do? What they're really saying is, I love you. I'm running a little short on time, so I want to finish with one of two practices we try to finish with every week, and that is saying, I love you. It matters, ladies and gentlemen. It matters, maybe more than you could even begin to imagine. I know that in my own life, it has literally changed my life. When I was 18, my dad said, I love you. Didn't know. I hadn't heard it in 18 years, and he realized it then, and he gave it to me as a gift that I am forever grateful for. My dad didn't leave me money, but he sure left me the riches of a beautiful treasure called love. To that end, I want to invite you to say those three most magical, charmed, and holy words in the human language. Say it to somebody with eye contact. Slow it down. And say in a meaningful way from the internal dialogue of your life, I love you. You know, that's a practice not only of love for others, but it's a practice of self-love. Because in that practice, you are garnering for yourself a harvest of your own love, because what we give is what we receive, and we cannot keep what we do not give. And by the same token, what we give will always come back in multiplied harvesting ways. So I challenge you to do that. I left out our breathing exercise to spend a little time on this, but I don't want you to forget that as you're breathing, inhale gratitude. Exhale the three words that will change your life, that'll change the life of someone else. And person by person, interaction by interaction, you'll move away from considering yourself lucky in love to becoming a person living and learning the value and the treasure of love. So as you go forward in your day and in your week, I challenge you, join me. Let's do something beautiful in this ugly world. Let's do something beautiful while ugly's getting done to death. Let's be the people of the beauty of love and watch the world change layer by layer. I love you. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.